Got it. What is up, everybody? I'm Poppy Marco, and I'm here with another episode of the Funkin' Focus Dance and Dialogue Boogaloo Traditions podcast, brought to you by Funkin' Focus and Urban Artistry. And today, we have a person that I was very excited to interview, a person that I've been hearing histories about him ever since I started dancing. It's an honor to have you here, man. Ladies and
Thank you.
gentlemen, No Bone Tyrone. What's up, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Michael, I'm doing straight. I'm doing great, man. I'm definitely feeling the holiday spirit right now. I'm feeling great, dude. It's that time of the year, but I'm definitely blessed and thankful, man, and just glad I could come here and be a part of this project you guys have going today, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's just get started. I have a lot of questions here for you.
Okay.
And since I already heard some histories from you in the
Amazing.
Omega Skills class, so I have something ready for you here. So
Wow.
let's start from the beginning. I want to know a little bit about your childhood and how was your education and upbringing and how it lead you to being an artist.
Wow, great question. Now, you said my childhood. When you look at my childhood, going back to the early days, I remember being a kid that grew up having a problem with my knees. They were really basically not needed to where I had to get like an operation, and I was one of those kids that had the braces on like Forrest Gump. Imagine that, but we're talking about 1964, 1965, when I was a young kid, somewhere around there. And then on top of that, once I got that problem corrected, or I had a speech impediment as well. And so when I had that speech impediment, I grew up having to go through different classes so that way I could correct my speech impediment. And in that process of me doing that, I began to talk proper. And growing up in the hood, that's not a great thing, bro. It's like, hey man, how can you talk like that? But they didn't understand that I had to kind of like learn how to talk all over again, man. And so that's kind of, what led me to kind of get to the point to where I said, man, I took a whole lot of heat, people laughing at me, making jokes about me, right? And instead of me wanting to try to fight them or do something violent, I said, man, I gotta just, accept it. I gotta find a way to use this thing that they're laughing at me about. I gotta find an energy so then that way, I could, focus on that energy as a means of in my own way, getting back at them, but not in a violent way, but in more of a spiritual way, bro. You know what I'm saying? More of a spiritual way, more of a a way where I could teach them something that they could take with them for the rest of their lives, right? It's almost like teaching them a lesson. Okay, so you guys on the level, okay, here we go. And so when I seen Poppin' for the first time, right, I said, wow, that's how I could do it. That's how I could, oh my, I was so excited, but at the same time, I was so mad. Now, at this time, we're talking about 19, it was right around 1977, 1978. I was going to the Dominguez High School in Compton, California, and I seen these guys called the PH Hustlers, pop. And when I seen them throw down, it was an amazing situation because I felt all these different emotions, right? And I was just tripping, and I didn't understand why. And I was kind of like mad, and I couldn't really describe why I was mad. But at the same time, when it came down to Marco, it was like I had this chip on my shoulder, like, how are these guys so advanced? And I don't know nothing. I know about locking. I know about the robot. I know about all the things I see my friends doing, in the hood, but it's not like what I'm seeing these guys doing. So where did I go wrong? So I didn't realize that, at the time that I seen these guys dance, I didn't realize that it was unique to just that moment, that city, that state. I thought that it was still going on in, like, maybe, Colorado or New York, like, I didn't, we didn't have the internet. So I just was like, I didn't realize that, I was very lucky in seeing that. And so all of that, when the dust settled, I found out that, oh man, it's like I had this sense of entitlement. And it was so, yeah, and it was like, dude, you're not in, they don't give a damn that you just now learn about this, man. But when I, finally realized all of that, and I said, okay, now it's time to get to work and start really, developing, my style, so that's kind of how I evolved, from a childhood into, kind of where I am now. And there's different layers to that, from when I was a kid up until now. So depending on what, if there's anything within, that time frame that I might not have discussed, you could, if there's anything more specific you'd like to know, please ask, and I'll do my best to answer.
Nice. And I was going to ask about this experience because you actually told me about that when I did that class with you. But
Oh, wow.
that leads me to the next question is when you were learning popping, who was your biggest inspiration or inspirations and who taught you? Like, how was the process? Did you have a mentor, a teacher, or did you learn with your friends? You all learned together. How was this process of learning this dance?
Oh yeah, so that's a great question as well. It never was really just one specific person because there's too much to this art form, in my opinion, my humble opinion, and for what I was trying to get out of it. I knew that I needed to get multiple sources, but in terms of my, the person that first mentored me, that was a master at waving, his name was Anthony Starchild. He lived in Linwood, California, and he was the first person who I seen just do this airplane wave and just really make it look isolated and contorted and just really fast. And then the same thing with his body wave. He had just this crazy sick body wave. But with that being said, no matter how much I would have probably tried to duplicate what he did, it was not enough for me to, like, just use that as my own power move to enter a contest because they knew that was him. See? So there you go. So it's like just duplicating someone's move back in the day is not good enough, really, because it's good to be able to know that you could do it. But now, how are you going to do your part? How are you going to innovate that move? And that's kind of, what I did. But yeah, it would be definitely Anthony Starchild for sure. And then, there was like so many guys, man, but you got it, what comes to mind for sure is Anthony AK King and the Electronic Puppets. Props out to AK. You had guys like Boo, Boo Dan Martin. You had my man, Robot Prince. Yeah, these guys really influenced me, man. And Bop and Andre and Lady Tangerine, back in the day. The Unique Dominoes, the Mysterious Poppers. I should have led. I probably could have led with this, but the Electric Boogaloos. You know what I'm saying? With Boogaloo Sam, like seeing them on TV for the first time, bro. When you're a kid, and with the exception of watching the Gong Show and looking at Demons of the Mind, it was like we knew that there was something that was there was something unique about watching Demon of the Mind that kind of crossed over to when we seen the Electric Boogaloos. So we didn't see no type of beef on our end. We just seen beauty. We seen, what we were looking for all along, when it came to being able to entertain each other. And so, I got to give it up to, Boogaloo Sam and Poppin' Pete, Skeeter Rabbit, rest in peace, and all of the Electric Boogaloos, man, because they were a big inspiration, bro. We could identify with them because when we saw them, we said, "Wow, they look like us. They're like us, and they're on TV." Do you know the type of confidence that builds? So I got to give it to those cats, man. Props to Electric Boogaloos. And like I said, there's so many other poppers to speak on. OG One Arm Bandit, rest in peace, my dog. You know what I'm saying? Animation. Rest in peace. I mean, it's just wow. Wave-O-Matic, rest in peace. I mean, it's so many. Poppers. Bruno. From the Mysterious Poppers, rest in peace. And to the other, yeah. So there was a lot. I could keep going. We could probably spend the next half an hour with me digging aside and giving you these names, but those guys,
Nice.
man, and getting back real quick, man, I gotta mention, Master of the Boogaloo, Gregory Brown, and also another guy by the name of Boogaloo Tut. Both from the electronic puppets. Those cats were so dope, bro. And then on the and then just to make sure I clear it up, there was another Boogaloo Tut that was from Long Beach, Mark Benson. So peace out to Mark Benson. He was the beast as well. But those guys, man, I know them firsthand because I went to Dominguez High School with them. And so I knew how sick these guys was. And like I said, I could keep going. There's so many guys. I kind of feel like a lot of times I miss people, but then and that's back in the day. And then as we go forward, then this guy, we got all the Pomona, bro. So it's like, it's but for the time I started the art form and the guys that really helped me to develop into my own style, those names are probably the ones that come to mind first.
Nice. And I'll ask you about Pomona later, but
Sure.
I just came up with one question here because you're talking back then, you guys didn't have YouTube and
Right.
you only got to see poppers and new moves when it was on TV, like Black Messengers and the Electric Boogaloos, like the Gong Show or the Soul Train. But
Right.
in the meanwhile, when there was no poppers on TV, how you guys got to see new moves? Because as far as I know, some people told me, some OGs told me that you couldn't just go and say, "Oh, show me some moves," because people were afraid to others to bite the moves. So how did you guys would get to see new moves? Like I want to squeeze some moves out of that guy. How it worked?
The The only way you were able to get a chance to be exposed to the other different styles was whenever there was like a popping event, whether it was, going to Alpine Village or Bateman Hall or the English Square or the Eve After Dark, or Skate Junction, back in the day. I mean, there's just, all these different places we had to go to kind of like throw down. Like even at the gym, like at the school dances, like they used to have talent shows, bro.
Nice.
So basically that's how we kind of like exposed ourselves to each other. And I think the only other sources that we really had was what we seen on like the Gong Show and Soul Train. Like just watching like the lockers, what I'm saying? And just being able to also like keep in mind that beyond like, and this is what I noticed too, like I had to come to the realization that like you said, well, how is it that where did these guys get these different styles, right? And in my mind, just from my research, there's just no doubt in my mind that a lot of styles that was being that had already been created in Northern California trickled down, and some cats wasn't giving up that information. They were just keeping it to themselves. And so when we would see each other, somebody would be so good at doing something, and they would want to, but for the most part, redeem themselves, by like, going and working out. It's almost like we really we for the when you look at it, you can say that we really tested each other. We really tested each other. We really made each other better because, we wanted to be the best. And so when you're like, yeah, when you're reaching, for that, title, when you're striving to be the best, it's almost like the level of competition rises. And so I think based on the level of the competition, that bought out the most in of us, that bought out the best of us, from each other,
Nice.
because everyone wanted to be so good, man.
The
Everyone wanted to be number
competition.
one. Yeah.
The co the
Yeah.
competition brought the best
Yeah.
out
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. The competition. Yeah. The competition. Yeah. And I
Nice.
think that's what it was. Guys kind of took a little bit of what they seen from who was the best. And seeing as you had base styles already, guys kind of just, started to like form their own styles, within the art form,
Cool. Oh,
But I
that
think
was
that's how we
great.
did it. That's how we, yeah, I think that that's how we were able to, to really create like a whole lot of stuff, like in the future. Was based on that reason, man. We really, really pushed each other and
Nice.
made ourselves do superhuman things that nobody's seen yet. Especially when you're
Right.
lost. Oh my goodness, man. You ever see like a martial arts movie where a guy, whole family would get took out and he's the lone survivor? And before he even goes into training, he goes, before he starts fighting again, he goes into like reconditioning his body, doing all these state-of-the-art exercises because he knows this is it. He's gotta like put in work. And that's how it was with
Right.
us, That's how it
Great,
was,
great.
It was no different.
Nice. Nice. Now I have a question. Now we start
Okay.
to talk about Pomona.
Okay.
And I want to know how when did you move to Pomona? Because I don't remember which city you are from originally, but then you moved to Pomona.
Right.
And when and how it affected your dance? Like how did did it make your dance better? How it impacted? You were
Yeah.
popping before Pomona, or you learned in Pomona?
Yeah, I was popping before Pomona. Actually, I moved to Pomona in about 79, 80. And so basically when I got to Pomona, there was already poppers still there, but that's the year that I moved to Pomona. And even though I was already a popper in Pomona, I was still working on my style. You know, I was basically, when I moved to Pomona, now this is something that I don't know if I really revealed yet on the interview, but when I moved to Pomona, or if I did reveal it, I'll mention it again. When I moved to Pomona, dude, all I literally was just a waver, snaker, creeper, floater, and a couple of twist effects. So that being said, I wasn't satisfied. Because remember, I'm looking at guys that really know how to hit, that know how to, really like, mechanical pose and bang and just, like manipulate the beat. And I wanted to manipulate the beat. But waving is a fluid dance. Remember? Waving is, it's fluid. So now how are you able to match the beat if your whole purpose is to be liquid, as to be smooth, see? And that was the one, jigsaw puzzle that, I wanted to dedicate my life to trying to be able to solve. Have I been able to solve it yet? No, but at the same time, I'm getting pretty close. It's an ongoing, lifelong, mission, and you just enjoy the journey as you're going through it,
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, since we're talking about Pomona, tell us a little bit about the Pomona Heartbreakers.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness, man. The Pomona City Heartbreakers. Yeah, man, that's a crew that I had the honor to be a member of back in the day, approximately 1982 to about 1983, just before 1984 or so. But yeah, we had a rapper, and his name was Killer Rob. And we also had break dancers. We had a guy by the name of Kim Bass, another guy by the name of Dion, another guy by the name of Chocolate Chip, another guy by the name of Alex, another guy by the name of Re-Rock, and another guy. Oh man, I can't remember his name. Excuse me. I can't remember my guy's name, but it'll come in when it comes to mind. I'll mention it. But there was another guy, and when I remember his name, when his name does come to mind, I'll let you know. But we also had later on a guy by the name of Atomic Dog, that was in the Heartbreakers as well, as a break dancer, and then we also had poppers. And the poppers, yeah. Now hold on, you see where I'm going with this. So then we had me, we had Slick Dog. Now Slick Dog was the guy that introduced me to the Heartbreakers when I got back to California when I was living in Arizona. But Slick Dog is the homie, dude. I mean, no doubt about it. Then we had a guy named Dollar Bill. I don't know if you heard about the legendary Dollar Bill. Yeah, then we had another guy named Tick Rick, and then we had my man William Lightfoot, and so those were the poppers. So the way that we did it, man, we get in the contest. Of course, one of the biggest things that led me to wanting to be a member of the Heartbreakers was Killer Rob, because when you heard the Killer Rob when he's busting his rhyme and he's doing the Heartbreaker song and he has the rhyme just for you? Oh, come
Damn.
on, man. Come on. So you can only imagine how it was. So that's the way we rolled. So we had the break dancers doing their thing. When they would get done, the poppers would come in, do their routine, then break off doing the solo. So, you know, it was just one of those things, man, where we would, you know, get in the contest battle and just, you know, just for the most part, just, you know, just win contests and just have fun. And at the same time, man, we created a friendship that'll last for a lifetime, you know. But it was cool, man. Yeah, Pomona City Heartbreakers, you know, my dogs, you know.
Nice, nice. I did my research, you see? So,
Oh, you did. Cool.
since we're talking about Pomona history and Pomona City Heartbreakers and all of this, I want to know from you, what do you think that makes Pomona so special? We know every time we talk about waving, Pomona is a city that people talk about. So it's not only about the waves, but about popping in general and dance and culture in general. What's so special about Pomona City? What makes it different than the other cities?
Honestly, I think because when I, it's the love for the art form, and in my opinion, it starts with OG Stretch from the Groovitrons, the first popper I ever met in Pomona. So Stretch, you know, he basically, in my opinion, gave me the key to Pomona, bro. Like the very first time I met him. And I'm like, and it's no doubt in my mind, it was because we love this dance so much. And when he seen that I was a popper, and I seen he was a popper, and I told him I was from LA just coming out there, and he was saying that he was, you know, just coming, getting there too from LA. I'm like, wow, this is a trip, right? And so we, you know, created a bond. Now, this is before Stretch became a Groovitron. This is before Stretch was even a fantasy. So the reason why I say he gave me the key was simply because he told me about every popper that was in Pomona, what side of Pomona they were from, what their strengths was, you know, the styles that they had. And so really, once I got done talking to him, I was on a mission to go to every corner of Pomona and battle everybody that I could, because I said I wanted to show who I was. I wanted to, like, you know, show them what it was like when they seen somebody from, you know, LA. And in the midst of doing that, I met some really, you know, talented guys, man, you know, like Captain Pimo, for instance. He was pretty much the Michael Jordan of Pomona at the time. And so I knew that I needed to, you know, link up with him and team up with them, you know, so that way we could exchange different styles. And so with me teaming up with Captain Pimo, and then later on after the battle, PMO later on having to battle Stretch, you know, from the Groovitrons, it really gave me the motivation so that way we could challenge each other more. And I think the fact that everybody, like, challenged each other so much with like I said, with the culture starting from, you know, Stretch trickling down, you know, to everyone else, from what I saw. And then, you know, like me, like what I brought to Pomona, it was something I hadn't seen in Pomona yet. And that was, you know, the Man, someone hit me up. Hey, is this going live right now?
Not live right now.
Oh, somebody keeps hitting me up. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So what I bought to Pomona was something that I seen that needed to be added, and that was the ability to bring in that snake cobra style. And so I think when I did that, it just, gave a whole lot of poppers there. If they didn't have it already, it gave them, like them ideas to be more creative and be free without having to worry necessarily about hitting all the time. Now, remember, I already said when I got to Pomona, all I could do was wave and snake, creep and float.
Nice.
I wanted to hit more. They wanted to. They really loved the waving so much, man. Until you had a lot of guys who really just became better at waving, and in some instances, I influenced them, and in some instances, it was Captain Pimo. In some instances, it was Slick Dog. In some instances, it was Dollar Bill. In some instances, it was Stretch. You see, I could say that I definitely bought that style of waving that basically was unique until that time to like only LA and Southern California, like even, well, I shouldn't say Southern California, but I would just say, mostly like, even though Pomona is LA County, I'm talking about more like, Los Angeles, East LA, Gardena, Compton, Long Beach, Cerritos, Harbor City, like this all the, all the cities there, because
Nice.
to me, they were the hub of all the newest moves at the time. So I knew when I got to Pomona, I was going to be unique. There's no doubt in my mind. But at the same time, I said, how could I teach the style to different people? And instead of them, once again, just taking my power moves and just, for most of the part, trying to make it their own power moves, I wanted to give them the ability to unlock their own power moves. And it happened, bro. It happened. So I think I succeeded. You look at some of the guys that I helped mentor and teach, Slick Dog, and Dollar Bill. You know what I'm saying? Even my man, William Lightfoot. I had guys that I mentored, man. I'd like to say I mentored, Confusion, Stretch. Funk Master now, Confusion. So for the most
Nice.
part, that's kind of what I did when I got to Pomona, man.
Nice.
I really developed when I got to Pomona. That was a time for me to develop my own style into kind of
Nice.
what it is now. Before
Nice.
that, I think that that's what's special about Pomona. People had a chance to see me grow and just kind of like, add to what they probably seen already. And then the contest that we were in, like Valen, like I said, like challenging each other and making the most, like just carving out, every inch of, energy that you had to win the contest. It was really what made Pomona so special, man. And like, one of the capitals of waving for sure in California. Because all my guys are waving. It's like, if you ain't, dude, you can hit, but it's like, man, you're gonna get into a contest where guys start waving and you're gonna see something, that you just probably hadn't seen yet, or you've seen before, but just not in that light. Up, oh, here she goes. Hold on.
Nice. No problem. So,
Hey Mo.
since we're talking, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, man. My wife is just calling me. So what were you
Oh,
saying
no.
again?
Cool. Can I go on? No problem.
Yeah, hold on, let me see. Okay, I see.
No problem.
I'm trying to better know. I'm still at the interview, but it keeps. But we can finish. She'll try
Yeah,
calling me back.
no problem. We can cut this part later, so no problem.
Okay.
So let's go. Continuing, you talked about how you wanted to learn to hit and new styles and new movements
Right.
because you wanted to develop your own style.
Correct.
And we all know that you are a master of waves. And I know for an
All
instance,
right.
you're
Thank you.
a master of twistle flex as well because
Yes,
I've seen
sir.
you getting down.
Yep.
But what other styles do you, or art forms in general, do you practice?
I would say puppet. Like it, basically, my base style, the style that I was like striving to like put the pieces to the jigsaw puzzle together with, is called the electromechanical puppet. That's basically what my base style is when I'm hitting before I go into waves, and that's the way that I feel my way around the beat. And so from the beat, it kind of just gives me the ability to open up, all my other styles. So I would say that that's the style, the electromechanical puppet. And then when we get into the waves themselves, I started to, basically label, and archive, the names for each of my wave styles, because when you start to like develop so many, and you go and you can perform, you want to make sure that you're able to isolate, each one. So then that way you can know, okay, it's almost like you have a closet of suits, and you might have a red one, you might have a green one, you might have a blue one, a gold one, and it's like, okay, now let me see which one I want to pick. And the luxury of that is beauty in itself, because back in the day, you probably only had one or two of those suits in the closet, because there was not all these different styles at all. It was just, it was like everyone in the crew had their own specialty. So no way would you be able to do all these different styles. It's just the evolution of this dance is what brought us there. I mean, the first time I heard about someone being able to do multiple different styles was crazy to me. It was really crazy. I'm like, how? How? But that goes to show you how powerful the human mind is. Because I'm thinking, no, that's. When I heard about face popper, like someone is a face popper, what does that mean? And then they told me what it was, like being able to transition like from one style to the next. And now it's just a common thing now, but when I first started it, that was no really no such thing.
Cool. That is cool. And we're talking about like how the dance is now. Now it's common to have many styles and many
Oh
dances.
yes.
And I want to know, what do you miss in dancers in the dance scene back then? And what could you make new dancers, newer dancers could make to make it even better?
I would say on the first, on the last question, I'll answer that first. I would say being able to like stay on top of your history, being able to not like just if even if you love Boogaloo, like try to like do everything in your power to like learn from multiple sources, because only then will you be able to like sit back and watch the multiple sources and be able to develop your own style from watching that, and so I would say that, and if you just pay homage to the old school, generation, like you guys are doing here, is like, like just being able to like sit back and watch a lot of these documentaries, a lot of these interviews, so you could stay on top of the art form, so you could know how it started and what it has evolved into now. And then on the very first question, can you ask that one again, please?
I was asking you, what do you miss about the scene back then?
Oh,
What
what
you
do you
think
miss?
what we could bring back?
Oh man, bring back. Oh wow. Let's see. The one thing that I want to see maybe a little bit more of, but I understand that everybody is different in terms of like their economic structure. But I want to see more elegance in the dance. I just want to see more elegance. That's all. I mean, everyone seems to get caught up into this thing where, you have to like dress like an accountant or like maybe somebody that went to go, do their recycling, and they're, throwing down. Whereas back in the day, we took more honor and pride in how we would dress. That's all it is. And with that being said, with don't let me make sure that I don't get things twisted. It's not necessarily all about, how someone's dressed. It's just about, the moves and the style. But in terms of the elegance, you see what I'm saying? Like your hat. You said my hat. You said I mean, just it's the, it, there's a there's a there's a elegance to this art form that I only see every once in a while, and I like to see it a little bit more. That's all. That's all. Like this, it's just about the swag. There's a certain swag to this art form that I used to see back then that I might see missing a little bit, but I still love what I see though. I still love what I see because you
Nice.
have to appreciate the newer culture, because without the newer generation, this art form wouldn't be to where it is now. And where it is now is nuts. I just, I'm just so appreciative, man.
Nice. So for the next one, I have two in one. I was
Okay.
talking earlier today with Popping Chuck from Robot Mafia,
Oh,
and I told
okay.
him I would be talking to you. First, he says hi to
Oh,
Bruno
tell Chuck,
Mars,
I was no Chuck. That's my dog.
and he asked about the Wavemasters Volume 1 project,
Right.
and I'll use this one to ask, tell us about your upcoming projects, what you plan to do next.
Oh wow. Yeah, so basically what I want to try to get out to everybody next is the original OG One Arm Bandits roundtable documentary. And it's about 25, less than a half an hour, and it's an interview with some of the old school LA legends in it. And we're just kind of like just discussing our names, the side of LA that we're from. And and we're just kind of just passing the camera around to each guy, and they just kind of give a description about them, their style a little bit and who they are. And it's real simple and to the point, but it's so dope. So that's going to be coming out soon. Other than that, we have a project that we just finished up called the 50th Year Pop Lock Anniversary. Props out. Yeah, I know. Cross out to Ruckus Williams and UView Media Group and Mobile Star Entertainment in the house, baby. Yeah,
Yeah.
so the 50th year Pop Lock anniversary, bro, was like a project that we did last year in LA, and it incorporates so many different elements. I mean, you have rapping. You have comedy, you have crump dancers, you have popper ciphers, you have two man routines. You have, the four man routines. It's just so cool, man, to see all of those elements come together, like in one project, and it ended up being cool, man. Also, there's a segment was in the 50th year Pop Lock anniversary, that I did with Azer One and Zulu Gremlin. So it was the West Coast funk and soul. And so I was a I would we did like a showcase and a panel, and I was one of the panelists on that particular piece. And so we had me, Bop and Chris from the LA Bop and Crew, OG Tic Tac, OG One Arm Bandit, rest in peace, Slim from the Time Bandits. And so those were the panelists, and also we had the homie from the Mysterious Poppers. I'm sorry, not sure. Yeah, I'm gonna say he's from the Mysterious Poppers or the Time Bandit, but his name's OG Fernando. He was a little bit on the panel as well, but yeah. So yeah, we put it down. So that was gonna be coming out soon. The whole thing. We're gonna probably be doing a screening for that again soon. So other than that, man, it's just been me just doing other little individual projects. I haven't had a time. I should say. I don't know if you heard about Master Wave's Legacy: The History of Pop Lock Begins, Chapter One,
Nice.
Part One, Compton. I don't know if you've seen that. It's available on YouTube, so I'm gonna be able to get back into that coming up again in 2024, and then all my other little, small like clips that I might have done that I have been like in the process of loading up to YouTube or either Instagram. It's just so many, man, because I've got so much media. I need to just hire somebody out to do it for me. I can't afford to yet,
Nice.
but yeah, but that's what I got going, man. So yeah, so we're gonna probably be getting into, the Master of Waves Legacy documentary again coming up in 2024. So, look for some of that to be coming out soon too.
Cool,
But
cool.
other than
Do we
that,
have
that's it.
the
It's a
cool, we can
lot.
have the link. That's a
Oh, of
lot.
course. Oh,
Go
for
on.
the Master Wave. Oh, for the Master Wave Legacy, the History of Pop Lock Begins. Oh, definitely. I'll send you the link. Yeah,
Cool.
definitely.
We can
Yeah,
have these
it's on
links.
YouTube. It's on YouTube. Yeah, my YouTube
Nice.
is No Bone Tyrone. No Bone.
Nice.
Yeah, No Bone Tyrone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
So.
you're talking a little bit about the word pop lock, and
Right.
every time I interview someone from different cities in California, I like to ask something about this word, and I would like to know some misconceptions about the word pop lock, and how do you feel about this word and this tradition?
Yeah, so pop lock, when you hear that word pop locking, the first thought is like from what I've heard, and people have corrected me, but the amazing thing about that is you never really heard that word being discussed before the social media trend started. Prior to the social media trend, based on the fact that you were probably living in a different state, a different country, you figured that there's no such thing as pop lock, right? But there's a lot of words that there is a such thing as that people have already said that there's no such thing. And there's so many different examples of it. So when I hear the word pop lock, and I think about the first time I heard the word pop lock, straight up from me to you, I'm in woodshop class. And one of my classmates asked me, Have I ever heard of popping? So immediately I started doing locking moves. Now think about that. Immediately I started doing locking moves. He said, no, man, not locking, pop locking. Now, why did he tell me that? Because of this reason. Because in 1978, Webster's Dictionary, if you get it, open it up, and you look at the word popping, it's going to describe that word as a loud, sharp sound. So, making, or so that's what a pop is. So popping is making the large, sharp sound. It says nothing about popping. That's why he had to clarify by saying pop locking to me. Now, as the years went by, and I just, you know, already knew this information in my mind growing up in Compton, I knew that, okay, well, you know, that word itself, pop locking, when you look at the English language, there's two types of words. There's the denotative definition of a word, and there's the connotative definition of a word. So in order for us to look at pop locking as a dance, an urban art form dance, we're looking at it in the connotative form of the word, not the denotative state of the word. Because if we're looking at it from a denotative point, we're talking about the large, sharp, pierced sound. And so when you look at how in the hood we make up all these different slangs, I mean, come on, what are we doing here? We're calling like a 5-0. A 5-0 could be, you know, it could be a police officer. A dub, it could be a 20. I mean, I could keep going. A hoopty could be a wiped out car, you know. I mean, we could keep going with this. And those are all connotate. That's what, when we're looking at words connotatively, that's what gives us the ability to come up with slang, the ability to, you know, to get to, you know, the word out of just its normal state, so that way we could add, you know, a little bit of flavor as we're conversating and we're discussing things with each other. And so as far as I'm concerned, pop locking, that word is basically a Southern California word, bro, simply because of this. When you look at when the Electric Boogaloos came, they when they came to LA, specifically Long Beach, they were everyone wanted to learn from the Electric Boogaloos. They were it. They were to, if you didn't learn from the Electric Boogaloos or a member of their crew or somebody that was associated with them or ran in that circle, you weren't considered really like a popper or a boogalooer, really, right? So we said, you know what, man, we all can't learn from them. So what did we do? We started looking at other natural sources, man. Like you look at, like, you know, the mechanical man. You look at a puppet. You look at a scarecrow. These art forms have been here. You look at waving, for heaven's sakes. Do you think it just came when popping around? No. They've been waving in North Egypt for decades, man. What the tut? I mean, come on. That's my point. So now how can you use this information and carve out your own style out of it? You see? So that's where pop lock comes in. Because now I could transition, you know, from one style to the next and not really have to get caught up into just one thing, you know. So that's how I see it. That might be the deepest I ever got with that subject. So hopefully, you know, hopefully you got a lot out of it, man.
Yeah,
so anything else you want to do? Hey, and I'm going to tell you another thing. Anybody that wants to, like, talk to me about it, come on, man. I've got nothing to hide. This is straight the truth, bro. This is basically, you know, something that I had to like work on, because when I heard that there was no such thing, I'm like, oh, well, they're not from Compton. Or if they are from Compton, they didn't run in the circles that I ran in. I didn't see, they probably didn't come to, the some of the places I used to go to throw down, and which is kind of impossible, But we know what we call it, and I've yet to run into anyone, in any group of crews or guys that was from LA, Southern California, and didn't agree with what I just told you. Probably not from that technical of a standpoint, but for the ones who want to get technical, that really feel like they know what they're talking about, yeah, this is for you.
Nice. Thanks.
It's all love. This is all about being able to just stay knowledgeable, bro.
Cool. Thank you, man. That was very informative.
Right
I love to
on.
talk about these traditions that
Yes.
usually are erased or people try to forget about them or try to, I don't know, people, I never heard about it because it was local. So usually,
Right.
every time I have the chance to ask someone that was from there, I like to ask about these traditions.
Right,
So
man.
now
We're
so we
talking about.
can, sorry?
No. I was just, it was just so funny because I was just thinking about Mickey D's. It's like, dude, Mickey D, do I need to keep going? I can just keep going with these examples, man. When they say there's no such thing, I mean, it's so great. I love it, though. I
Nice.
love it.
Nice. So
But
now
then,
can we wrap it up? You were talking
okay.
about your projects and you have the links. How can we find you online and contact you for classes, for events, or to get to know more of these projects we're talking about? How can we find you online?
Okay, yeah, you can find me on YouTube at Noble and Tyrone. You can find me at Instagram, Noble and Tyrone. And you can find me on Facebook as well, Noble and Tyrone. I need to get back on you or Facebook more. But yeah, those are my three different social media platforms that I'm able to be accessed from.
Nice, nice. And we will have all these links on the YouTube video
Okay.
and on every platform possible. We'll have all these links so people can enter in contact with you and
Okay, and I'll
learn.
send them to you as well, so then that way you could have them, so you don't have to search around. I could, after the interview, I could, try to send them to you.
Nice, nice. So, ladies and gentlemen, this was OG Master No Bone Tyrone, man. Thank you for being here with us.
You're
It was a
welcome. You're
blast.
welcome.
I
You're
learned a
welcome.
lot. I learned a lot. I had a lot of fun. Thank you for being here. And for everybody
No
else,
problem.
see ya.
All right. Peace.